doers, wrong nevertheless continued to be done. Why? Well, next week I'll be leading you into temptation.
And in fact, the Reverend Richard Coles will be back later this week with the second programme in the series on Thursday evening at 9:15 here on BBC Radio 3. The Idea of Sin was produced by Simon Elms and first broadcast in February.
The Polish theme at the BBC Proms continues with the Proms debuts of Antoni Witt and the Warsaw Philharmonic, and a work the orchestra made famous, Udusławski's Virtuosic Concerto for Orchestra. And there's music by Shostakovich, the Sixth Symphony and the composer's buoyant Piano Concerto No. 2. Friday night at the BBC Proms from 7:30.
BBC Radio 3, 90-93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's 10:15. Well, coming up at 11:45, Jez Nelson introduces this week's Jazz on 3. But now, from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall here in London, here's Andrew McGregor with the second of this evening's Proms.
Well, last time I was here at the BBC Proms with Ilan Volkov and the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, it was for last year's great John Cage centenary celebration, including his concerto for prepared piano. Now, for tonight's late prom, Volkov has designed a programme with a foot on each side of the Atlantic and quite a different kind of piano concerto. American pianist-composer Frederick Jevsky is here to give the world premiere of his concerto, based, he was telling me earlier, on the Mozartian model, to him the high point of the classical piano concerto. Jevsky knew the American composer Morton Feldman, and Feldman's orchestral piece Coptic Light, his last orchestral work, takes his love of ancient Egyptian textiles and weaves a tapestry of luminous sound. So, those are our two American composers, and before them we're staying this side of the pond for music by a Berlin-born Brit and an Irishman, John White and Gerald Barry, who I'm delighted to say are both here with me. So Gerald, we're going to hear a pretty recent piece, No Other People. So explain the title to us.
Well, the title comes from this long poem, New Impressions of Africa, by the surrealist Raymond Roussel. And he commissioned 59 drawings to accompany the poem and sent the artist instructions for each drawing. And the title comes from one of these instructions. And the drawing portrays a smartly dressed man applying the barrel of a gun to his head, his finger on the trigger, no other people.
And he was working, he was working blind, wasn't he? It was a very strange way of commissioning illustrations.
Yes,
he had no idea what he was contributing to.
Exactly. The commission came through a detective agency, and he didn't know it was Roussel. So the intriguing thing about the final work is that these everyday drawings were put side by side with this very strange text, and the ordinariness of the drawings and the extraordinariness of Roussel's text contributes the strange, mysterious quality.
Well, thanks, John. And before No Other People has its Proms premiere, this late prom begins with John White's chord-breaking machine. Now, John, we're more used to thinking of composers as chord-making machines. So what's happening here?
There's a very feeble pun intended there. It's to do with the exercise of broken chords. And the word machine differentiates the piece from the activities preceding that period, when I was doing a lot of free improvising, reading from graphic scores, and interested in all things aleatoric. I suddenly felt bossy and felt like giving people very precise instructions as to what to do. This piece consists of oscillating intervals gradually climbing up through the scale, and the effect is of a kind of musical race course, in which all the players cover the same territory but at different speeds because of the different number of repeats of certain figures. And the brass exists to accentuate the new chord every time they arrive at it.
Well, John and Gerald, thank you very much for talking to me. I better give you a moment to get back to your seats before the music begins this evening. As you can hear, the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra is tuning on stage at the Royal Albert Hall here. The leader this evening is Laura Samuel. And we're just waiting for the orchestra's principal guest conductor, Ilan Volkov. And here he comes, Ilan Volkov, to switch on and supervise John White's orchestral mechanism, his chord-breaking machine.
Thank you.
You've just heard a chord-breaking machine installed here at the Royal Albert Hall. I suppose we'd better make sure it's switched off for the rest of the prom season. Written by John White in 1971 for the Orchestra of King's College School, Wimbledon, played to begin this late prom by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Ilan Volkov. And those cheers are for John White's arrival on stage, bowing to the audience here in the hall and applauding orchestra and conductor for their efforts. Now, we've got No Other People by Irishman Gerald Barry, inspired by an epic poem and illustrations of Raymond Roussel.
Thank you.
Other People by Gerald Barry, the composer reacting to, well, the impersonal relationship between words and illustrations in Raymond Roussel's poem New Impressions of Africa. And you've just heard its first UK performance at the BBC Proms with the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and Ilan Volkov. Gerald Barry trotting onto the stage to shake Volkov's hand. He's from County Clare in the west of Ireland, studied in Cologne with Stockhausen and Kagel, and he's also awaiting the first performance of his new piano concerto, which is going to be premiered in Munich in November. Well, we're about to hear the world premiere performance of another brand new piano concerto. It's a BBC Proms commission from the American pianist-composer Frederick Reshevsky, who's here to give the first performance himself. And if you know anything by Reshevsky, it's almost certainly a major set of piano variations called The People United Will Never Be Defeated. Now, his previous pieces for piano and orchestra have involved electronics and improvisation, but as Reshevsky explained to me this afternoon, his starting point for the new piece stems straight from the title.
I was asked to write a piano concerto, and of course I've already done a couple of things like that, but they're not piano concertos in the classical sense. So I decided that this is a form that started in the early 18th century with people like Corelli, and rapidly reached its peak with Mozart in the later 18th century, and since then it has basically gone downhill with occasional spikes, which we all know about, and I'm at the bottom of the hill. So I decided that if the form has any future at all, it would be at the form that it had at its highest point, which is Mozart. And therefore, I decided to write it for a sort of Mozart-style orchestra, except there are a few odd things that Mozart didn't know about.
There's a little percussion he might not have recognized.
Yeah, the ass's jaw and the singing saw. And then, of course, there's a tuba in there, too. But basically, it is a classical orchestra, because I think that if the orchestra has a future, it's in its classical form.
Frederick Reshevsky talking to me earlier. And he also told me that he decided on a 20-minute work, 18 minutes composed, and about 2 minutes for improvised cadenza-like passages. And he's a famous improviser himself and feels it's a side of performing classical concertos that's sadly neglected, but not by him. Here he comes with conductor Ilan Volkov to give the world premiere of his piano concerto here at the BBC Proms. And it begins very quietly. He told me earlier this was especially for the outside acoustics of the Royal Albert Hall. He wasn't sure it would be audible, he told me, but he was delighted to find during this afternoon's rehearsal that it is. The musical Soar, alongside solo violin harmonics, ending the piano concerto by Frederick Zhevsky. You've just heard the world premiere performance at this late prom with the composer at the piano improvising his own cadenza in true classical tradition, something of a lost art, he was bemoaning to me earlier today. But Zhevsky is a great improviser. Ilan Volkov was conducting the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra. Violin solos played by leader Laura Samuel. And the slow third movement we heard, is quite different from the others. The notes are written as pitches with no duration, and as the conductor beats a slow four in one continuous curve, the players are told to play independently of one another and to hold each note as long as seems appropriate, while Zhevsky produces some of the sounds by leaning into the piano and plucking the strings or providing a bit of percussion from the body of the piano. Here he comes back onto the stage, gesturing his appreciation for the orchestra and Ilan Volkov, applauding them. He's in his 75th year now, Zhevsky, a former student of Walter Piston, Roger Sessions and Milton Babbitt at Harvard and Princeton. Next stop, he was telling me, he's heading to his studio in Brussels, where the ceiling's collapsed while he's been away, so he has to start, he says, by picking plaster out of his piano. And then Neufchâtel in Switzerland to perform the piece that would have made his name if he'd written nothing else, his major set of variations, The People United Will Never Be Defeated. And he's working on a piece for the centenary of the outbreak of the First World War next year, very much a work in progress, but six choral groups are coming together for a memorial concert in Brussels in September, and he's writing them a piece on the theme of desertion. He's looking through James Joyce for a suitable text. Well, you're listening to BBC Radio 3, the home of the proms. Andrew McGregor here at the Royal Albert Hall for the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra's late prom. If you've missed any of it or you want to hear it again, then don't forget that you can listen to every prom online on the BBC iPlayer radio, and you can find out what other listeners are saying about the concerts on Twitter, hashtag BBCProms. And after Zhevsky, the piano has to go. There's a bit of Royal Albert Hall stage rearrangement right now as we're preparing to hear the last work in this late prom, Coptic Light by Morton Feldman, written by the New Yorker in 1986, the year before he died. The title refers to Feldman's love of antique textiles, to pieces of fabric from the Coptic culture of Egypt in the Middle Ages, and the way, for Feldman, they conveyed an essential atmosphere of their civilization. To do the same in music, he thought, what he called the music's instrumental imagery would have to shine through so that its essence could still be detected hundreds, even thousands of years from now, just as it can be in the textiles. So, Coptic for the origin, light for the ongoing essential radiance. Now, it's a favourite work of tonight's conductor, Ilan Volkov, as he told me this afternoon. So did he build the entire concert around Coptic Light?
Both Zhevsky and the Feldman were the kind of starting point, and then I really wanted to have European composers as well. To have the music of both John White and Gerald Barry there makes a lot of sense. You know, they have a lot of connections with both Zhevsky and Feldman. Of course, Zhevsky knew Feldman very well as well, so there's a lot of linking. But actually, all four pieces are extremely different. This music is still kind of, it's pretty unique, all these four pieces, because they're really going in different directions and exploring territories which have been abandoned by the more experimental, supposedly, composers. So that's in that sense, it's unique. I mean, you can hear that in the John White, just the most simplistic idea, but that creates a very powerful and very unique experience. Also quite complicated, actually. But it's, you know, you get it done in 10 minutes, presumably. You can rehearse it in 10 minutes and it works. So that's a unique thing for sure.
What is it that appeals to you most about Feldman's music and this unique approach he had to the sounds he makes?
Well, he's taking a huge risk there. You know, the whole piece there, notes can crack, people can not be together because it's so difficult to play four pianissimos for half an hour and still have a kind of rhythmic sense. And being with your colleagues, because you're always playing with somebody. It's not individual writing, it's all the time with other people.
And it is so quiet. It's a different way of playing and listening, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a huge sound because it's an orchestra of more than 100 people, but it's a very contained sound which the audience needs to kind of jump into, like a swimming pool, you know, it's like an ocean of sound. You need to really look for what's there, because he's not giving to you by spoon, he's not giving a melody, and he's not giving a normal structure which you can comprehend. Sometimes it's very, very long. So to feel the structure over 80 minutes or 4 hours, it's a very difficult experience, a very different experience anyway. And I think it's also, it's music that can make your imagination really kind of freeze you up. You know, it's not something that tells you this is what it is and you need to listen to my lecture now. This is a totally different experience of experiencing sound, you know, and it's really about that.
And for anyone who hasn't heard much Feldman or any Feldman, and particularly Coptic Light, how would you introduce them to the piece we're about to hear?
It's a difficult one, but I think it's a very simple structure. This piece is divided into two parts. The first part is the long part, and the second part, suddenly short notes appear. So all the beginning, more than 20 minutes, only long notes are played in variety of orchestrations and textures, and then suddenly in the last 3-4 minutes there are short notes. So that's the biggest change, dramatic change in the piece. Of course, this music doesn't have any drama or any kind of normal narrative which usual music have. Even when we talk about Boulez and Stockhausen, that has a narrative. This throws all that out. Even me explaining to you that suddenly a short note or a one chord which is louder, which there's a few chords in the piece which are louder, that's a huge dramatic moment. It's not, but it's a huge shifting point, which kind of is a structural thing which kind of makes everybody change their viewpoint in a sense.
And it's that woven texture as well, isn't it? He's giving us a carpet of sound.
Yeah, so everything is, you know, you have one chord which sustains for a while and then another chord starts a little later and overlaps, and another overlapping and another overlapping, and sometimes it's quite fast overlappings. It's this kind of, yeah, all about texture and orchestrating, you know. But actually, you know, you hear it. And talking about it too much is also not such a good idea. It's very much ahead of its time, this piece, and now it can be really appreciated. It's an amazing piece to listen to. And actually, my position also is fantastic where I'm conducting from, because I get the sound really surrounding me. The sound, it's really an amazing...
You're completely embedded in it, aren't you?
Yeah, it's really it's a really special piece, you know, like you could compare it to the great artworks by Rothko, or it's really something really unique. And I think every person can go into this kind of piece with a very different experience.
This evening's conductor, Ilan Volkov, talking to me after the rehearsal of Coptic Light this afternoon. Well, Feldman remembered a comment Sibelius made about the orchestra differing from the piano mainly because it has no pedal, so Feldman tried to create one, a sustain pedal for the orchestra. Well, here comes Ilan Volkov to conduct the BBC Symphony Orchestra in Coptic Light by Morten Feldman. What a beautiful way to make time stand still. Coptic Light by Morton Feldman. And you can tell quite a lot of the people in the audience here for this late prom came to hear that work, didn't they? Inspired by the ancient textiles Feldman adored and collected, in this case fragments from Egypt and the Middle Ages that he'd seen at the Louvre in Paris, and the idea that something woven in such a way can carry the essence of a culture into the future. We've just heard the musical equivalent unrolled quietly before us by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra and its principal guest conductor, Ilan Volkov. And apart from the beat, the gesture he made most often during the performance was putting his finger to his lips to remind the musicians just how quietly they had to play. And the lovely shimmer of four marimbas in that last section played from behind and above the orchestra. Beautiful sounds. Well, it's the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra's last prom this season, or at least it's their last one here in the hall. They're playing Verdi's Requiem at the Edinburgh Festival next weekend, and then adding to the last night of the prom's festivities on the 7th of September with the BBC Proms in the Park from Glasgow Green. Ilan Volkov back on stage now, applauding his players for that feat of concentration. It's not easy to play these vast expanses of Feldman, I can tell you. I love these late proms. They feel different to the early evening concerts. And where else could you hear Frédéric Jevsky's new Mozartian piano concerto alongside a chord-breaking machine, no other people, and Morton Feldman weaving an orchestral carpet? As Ilan Volkov trots, almost runs back onto the stage and holds up the score of the Feldman. Back in Broadcasting House, I think they're rolling out the red carpet for us. Here's Jonathan Swain.
Andrew, thank you very much. Andrew McGregor there at the Royal Albert Hall. And just to say, there's a chance to hear that prom again anytime you like for the next 7 days. Every prom is available to listen to online via the Radio 3 website. And we're back at the Royal Albert Hall for our next prom. Tomorrow night, Daniel Harding conducting the LSO in a tribute to the late Sir Colin Davis. Music by Tippett, Benjamin Britten and Elgar, his second symphony. That's at 7:30 tomorrow night. Our next late night prom is this one.
This year, Radio 3's World Roots Academy has focused on the remarkable and little known musical culture of Azerbaijan. Join me, Lucy Duran, at the BBC Proms as our Academy protégé, the young singer Fidan Hajiyeva, performs alongside her mentor.
There's me singing around the house on chairs.
On chairs?
Yeah, I would go up on chairs and start singing.
Also on the bill, two groups from Mali, a world debut by a new ensemble of master musicians, Trio Dakali, plus one of the biggest stars on the world music scene, Baseku Kouyaté and Ngoniba. Join us Thursday night at 10 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, back to this evening, and in 5 minutes' time, Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz. That's at 9:45. Until then, the music of an Englishman who was no stranger to jazz, Richard Rodney Bennett. This is his setting of A Good Night. It's his contribution to A Garland for Linda, a collaborative series of works written in memory of Linda McCartney in 1999. The BBC singers are conducted by Paul Brough.
Thank you.
tribute to Linda McCartney, Richard Rodney Bennett's A Good Night, with Paul Brough conducting the BBC Singers.
Saturday matinees at the BBC Proms. In 1952, our Proms anniversary composer Benjamin Britten heard a piece in which seven modern French composers had each written a variation on a theme by the 17th century composer Compre. Britten thought about doing a British version, and why not on a tune like Selinger's Round, which would be ideal for a new collective tribute to the new Queen Elizabeth. Imogen Holst, Lennox Barclay, Michael Tippett, William Walton, and now, 60 years after the coronation, the English Chamber Orchestra adds two new variations to that set. I'm Clemency Burton-Hill. Join me for a new take on an intriguing set of variations. Saturday afternoon at the BBC Proms from 3 o'clock.
Well, the Proms aren't the only summer music festival we're covering as it happens. Weekday mornings at the moment, we're live at the Edinburgh Festival tomorrow, the period instrument group Nachtmusik in a selection of Mozart's music for wind ensemble. That's our live concert from Queen's Hall in Edinburgh as part of Radio 3's coverage of the Edinburgh Festival, and it starts at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Sibelius is our current Composer of the Week. Composer of the Week is on this week after In Tune each day. Also, to celebrate Composer of the Week's 70th anniversary, the programme's inviting listeners to contribute names of composers for a future week of the programme. Well, there have been thousands of suggestions so far, and if you'd like to contribute yours, for more details, just go to bbc.co.uk/radio3/Composer of the Week. That's bbc.co.uk/radio3/Composer of the Week. And Composer of the Week is all one word. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 on FM. We're on digital radio and we're live online. It's a quarter to midnight. And now, slightly later than usual, Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson for the best in contemporary jazz.
Hello and welcome along to Jazz on 3. And tonight, for the second of our trips this summer into the Jazz on 3 vaults, digging out some of the best of our recent recordings and bringing you some music we didn't have time for first time around. Two very contrasting bands on the bill tonight, but both with something of an old school charm about them. A little later, wistful folk and grooving minimalism are to the fore with Argentinian pianist Guillermo Klein and his quartet of New York musicians. Firstly, though, veteran Dutch mavericks Han Bennink and Misha Mengelberg brought their Instant Composers Pool Orchestra, now into its 46th year, to the Vortex in North London back in February for a heartwarming gig, mixing irresistible swing and effortlessly free playing. No time to waste. Here they are, beginning with the Mengelberg tune called No Idea.